This is TA from the After Hour Nerds Podcast, the original co-host, here to bring to present to you the After Hour Nerds Podcast.
When businesses are finally, like, fully stocked again,
question is, when did it start, I guess? Because I don't even know how long it's been going. I'm getting nervous because I'm seeing fucking Tiger King Season 2 is coming out.
Oh,
and
no.
When Tiger King Season 1 came
we're getting back to that part of the quarantine again?
Oh, no. You're listening to episode 101 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of November 8th, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers last week's important gaming and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and special guest host, the ad reader, TA.
Hey!
I still use you for the ads.
I know you do.
I still have that horrible recording.
Please, do an update already. Let Dylan try one, please.
I love the fact that I have the opening that you tried to do.
Yep.
With all the other voice actors.
Yes.
And you butchered it so hard.
Yes, thanks. Thanks.
Maybe that'll be the opening to this episode.
Play that at my funeral. Just be like, hey, these are the last words he ever had recorded.
On it, you were like, I forget how it goes because I haven't listened to it in a while. You're like, and you're listening to the after, what is it? The, it's like, no, you've only recorded 30 episodes. I didn't think you would know the name. What have you been up to?
Well, not a whole lot because, you know.
You beat Final Fantasy VII for like the 100th time.
Well, before we get into that, like, depression has taken a hold of me.
Oh, real bad. It down real low.
Hey, so instead of doing the normal thing and playing new games like you always wanted me to, mm-hmm. I'm back to comfort playing my old games.
No, I have the comfort foods.
But I did platinum Final Fantasy VII, the original, for the first
time.
You
just told me how you cheated.
I didn't cheat. Ruby's AI is very glitchy, and if you try to mess with it to help yourself win the fight, he will cheat and try to make sure you lose it. So
hold on. I want to get this part right. So when you cheat, it cheats back to make sure you don't cheat, and that's what you're upset about?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, bro, his defense stat is higher than anything you can possibly get. Give me a chance. I was only doing 12,000 per hit when I was doing...
It's a secret boss for a reason,
I was doing 40,000 Emerald per hit.
When you beat Emerald, was Emerald way quicker?
Yeah. But it's because his defense stat is normal.
Okay.
Because, like, his defense stat, I think, is, like, 230, whatever. Like, you know, you can get max strength to 255.
230.
Ruby's defense stat is 480.
These are all made-up numbers to me.
But remember, like, in Final Fantasy, pretty much 255 is the max number for you to get.
I like how you said remember as if I was going to know that off the top of my head.
Remember. Come on, bro. You've been playing JRPGs for a long time.
But once I beat it, I move on like a normal person.
That's possible for me. not when you're a fanatic.
Yes, you know, that's your thing, all right? I get it. I respect it.
The good news is ever since that power crash that like stopped my progress in the Platinum for 9, I have had literally zero desire to play it.
See, that's what I love to hear.
But I beat the hidden boss that Michael never beat, so I think that's good enough for me.
9 has a secret boss?
9 has two of them, and one of them is Ozma, and his AI is the most bullshit thing in the planet, and I somehow beat it.
Have you've definitely played Super Mario RPG, right?
Yes.
Have you beat the secret boss in that game?
To be honest, I had no idea he was even there until I saw a YouTube video about it. I was
Me too. That's why I was wondering.
But he seems like bullshit, so I was like, I'm not gonna bother.
Do you think they ever add that to the Switch Online?
No, because we want it. Yeah, no. That's the one, dude. Yep. That's one of like the three games.
It's crazy because Paper Mario for the Nintendo 64 is coming to the Switch Online. It's not there yet, of course, because all the games we want. I want to play the F-Zero for N64. That's not on it yet.
Yep.
I started playing some of them.
To be honest, I would love to play the original Paper Mario. I would love.
Have you ever played it?
No.
Me neither.
The only one I ever played was Thousand Year Door.
I thought that was the first one.
Me too. Honestly did. And then someone was like, no, there was one. I was like, no way.
That's another one where it's like, how do you not just remake Mario Thousand Year Door? Like, they keep taking the Paper Mario game, like, franchise and driving it off a cliff, realizing they didn't die yet, and then going back down the cliff again.
So, like, we were just talking about how, like, Final Fantasy, like, they just, they slapped the word remaster, and all they do is to clean up one thing.
Yep.
They could slap the word remaster on Thousand Year Door, and not, they could make it look worse, and I would still buy it now.
Well, because the art style holds up so well.
I'm saying, they could graphically de-resolute it, and I would still buy it right now and play it. Like, nothing really
was fine. I would give them $60 for it right now.
Hell yeah.
$60, no questions asked. Just let me play it on.
I need to redeem myself. That's one of the, I'm down to two games on my redemption list, and that's one of them.
If I ever had to create a redemption list, it would go Skyrim and Dark Souls, and that was it. And I'm not touching them with the 10-foot pole again. Like, I'm not kidding. That's it. I'm done. Dark Souls is the most... I don't understand anyone who enjoys that game. Like, I don't get you guys.
So, like, I understand liking combat. I understand...
What combat? You're swinging a stick and it takes an hour.
It's dodging and rolling. That's the only combat. I can understand the love for, like, for challenging yourself to where, like, you really need to understand each enemy that you fight.
No.
I do not understand games that have literally no story progressing you, and you're just like, go explore this world. Don't die.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens to me? I die a lot.
But it punishes you. Like, I understand that's the point of the game.
Yeah.
But it, like, pulls down your pants and raspberries you. Like, punishes you. Like, it's, like, so disappointing. Like, nothing about it is... Like, I just don't get it. All right, so now that you beat Final Fantasy VII for like the 50,000th time, what do you
guess?
Guess what?
I have literally no desire to play it ever again. Not until my kids at least want to that way I'd be like, all right, guys, let me show you it's done.
What's the next game on the list then?
Well, to be honest, I was thinking I've been like really in the mood for Three Houses again.
Ooh, because like, I don't hate that idea.
I still have three routes to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
have
then,
you tried the DLC yet?
No. I
would suggest do the DLC first now.
Well, the only reason I wouldn't do the DLC is simply because I still have my last two routes besides that is Edelgard's. Yep. So I'd be doing Edelgard back to back.
So hear me out, though. So the DLC takes place before the time jump.
Yep.
And is technically non-canon to the story.
Yeah.
But doing so unlocks the characters from the DLC.
So that I can take into...
Yes.
Are they overpowered as fuck?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then what's the...
They're just interesting. Like, they're...
Yeah.
They're not overpowered, but they're different.
Yeah.
They are... Some of them are certain classes that other characters cannot get, but they're not overpowered. They are balanced and still fun.
Okay.
So that's why I say go for the DLC. It's an additional side... It's almost like an anime film.
Yeah.
That is just never canon to the thing. We get super hyped about... You watch it and you're like, oh, well, maybe it's because I'm 30 years old and I shouldn't be watching this anymore.
When a guy I follow on Twitter, he was talking about how he was like, man, I really miss playing that game. I was like, well, maybe. Why not play it again?
Every time I see a screenshot of it or like someone talking about it, I think maybe I should go back.
And I was like.
You know that maybe I should call her meme?
Yeah.
That's me with Fire Emblem once a month.
I want to do Edelgard's too, just because like the if you choose a route, it's like wicked short.
Yeah.
Just because that way I don't like get burnt out and like, you know what I mean?
I get you.
But to be honest, we were just talking about it. I might pop in Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and do a Golden County or Torna, whatever it's called.
I might do the Golden.
No, is Golden County 1's DLC?
No, what? Golden.
Go Golden Age Torna, right? Okay.
Is this one Futures Connected?
Okay.
Is Xenoblade Chronicles 1 DLC. Honestly, since I got the OLED, I have kind of been playing like just little spurts of random games just to see what it looks like on the screen.
Yeah.
Like and the Animal Crossing 2.0. Oh, it's honestly the best way to equivalent it is like, do you remember the Nintendo DS, the original?
Yep.
Do you remember when
I still
Lite?
Have that thing, remember?
Yeah, that's sad. Do you remember when you get the DS Lite?
Oh my god.
It's just like brighter, more compact, better build.
Your eyes are hurting and you're like, this is great. Yeah. I love technology.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the best way to, because it's honestly not life changing. Like if you just have a normal Switch and you're like, do I need an update? No.
No.
You absolutely do not need this thing. So what did I do? I went out and bought it immediately. But it looks so crisp at times, and then other times you're like, I just forget. And then you look at a normal Switch and you're like, no, I see the difference finally.
Yeah.
But
it reminds me of like when like 4K TVs came out, mm-hmm. like against like regular straight up plasma, like I remember my brother Steven had one, and like it almost looked like it was like the shows were in 3D, but they weren't. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like they were like it looked like the screen was wrong.
You could taste sound.
Yeah, something like that. Like they just, everything looked wrong, but I was like, it was like it looks like they're kind of there, but not really.
Like my boss today was making fun of me because I was colorblind. and I told him I was gonna create the Braille version of colorblindness. And he said, did you try scented markers? All right. And we're going to take a short break and be back with the news. All right. We're back for the news. Quick news of the week. Super Mario 3D All-Star receives 1.1.1 update, which now adds support to the N64 controller. New Halo Infinite map shown via IGN Streets. They showed this off. They didn't play a game. they took like an IGN reporter and he slowly walked through the map while like a 343 Industries guy kind of like talked over it.
Yeah.
Who's like the most depressing and worst way to ever show off a map in a multiplayer game. It was so, and the worst thing is like,
there was definitely some like social like manager was like, this is going to be a great, like, gamers are going to love it.
Well, the most annoying thing is like, they'll show you an area and then they pan and look the other way and it's like, oh dude, I just wanted to keep going to the left, but because it's like the annoying thing where you don't have control.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, I just, it's like, just, you know what? You should have just played one game on it.
Yeah.
Just play one game and that would have been better.
Yeah.
First trailer shown for the Book of Boba Fett, released on December 29th. Did you see the trailer?
No, I didn't.
I get nervous with Disney Plus because I have a feeling they're going to be shoving Star Wars and Marvel content down our throats.
Pretty much.
To the point where we get exhausted of it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because it's like every week you find out, oh, we're doing this spinoff series now. We're doing this spinoff series.
Yeah, they're like, oh, here's What If. Oh, here's What If, but for Star Wars. Oh, here's What If for Marvel. And it's like, dude,
it's like every,
let me enjoy what I've got.
Every side character now is getting their own spinoff show.
Oh yeah.
What the hell is her? Have you seen WandaVision?
No.
The main villain in it is
the
now
mage. The mage girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Something Harkness.
Yeah.
She's getting her own spinoff, and it's like, I don't need a Salem Witch series spinoff in the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
She was great in the little spurts, but do I want to see her carry her own show? No.
But then there's characters that don't get spinoffs, and you're like, this could be so much, like, this could make other characters that exist so much better.
I think it's like a double-edged sword. There's so many characters in different mediums that are so great because they don't overstay their welcome.
Yeah.
And you don't really realize it until you're forced to watch 30 minutes of
weekly. And I agree. Like, I don't know. I feel like every major character that we like enjoy has one complimentary character that,
what if Dragon Ball Z had a fucking spinoff with Vegeta? Would we love that?
I don't know. I don't know. But like, if it's Vegeta and like his dad shows up, or like Vegeta and like him and Trunks go on an adventure together, I'd be like,
I would love a Vegeta sitcom where his father comes back to Earth and he's just trying to figure it out.
And he, so you've conquered this planet.
No,
I'm actually one of its protectors. And this is my son, Trunks. He's a bitch boy now.
Yeah, listen, whatever they did to future Trunks, we don't talk about, okay? Spider-Man will be coming to Marvel's Avengers on November 30th, only PS4 and PS5. And then Donkey Kong movie starring Seth Rogen is in the works.
Already?
Yeah, so whatever they've clearly
seen... The Mario movie didn't even happen yet.
Well, whatever they've seen of the
Mario movie?
Must have been really good because they already greenlit the Seth Rogen Donkey Kong
thing. It hasn't even come out yet.
You know what the funniest fucking thing is? The first bit of news we got about it leaked on the Bert Kreischer podcast.
That's where it started?
Because the Italian comedian...
Oh, Joey Diaz?
...is playing Mario's boss, Spike, and he was on the Bert Kreischer podcast.
And he accidentally...
Well, I don't know if he accidentally... You know, but he was just like, oh, after this, I have to go record my lines for the Mario movie. And Bert Kreischer was even like,
the Mario movie?
Are you serious? And he goes, yeah, I'm playing his boss, Spike. And that was like the first breaking news we got of that, like the cast or anything.
That's honestly one of the most funniest ways that anything about Nintendo could have ever been happened.
And then it's like, oh, and Chris Pratt is Mario, so we're all good.
Yeah, everyone. Like, I love all the memes they've done about Chris Pratt's gonna be Sonic, and Chris Pratt's gonna be this. Chris Pratt's gonna, like, dude.
In one of the news stories, there's a Chris Pratt joke.
What?
In one of the news stories for this week, you'll see it. There's a Chris Pratt joke.
Oh, great! I love it.
First news story of the week: Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2 delayed, maybe May 2023 games. This is by Michael McRoder on Polygon.com.
Wasn't Overwatch 2 supposed to come out like this year?
Supposed to come out this year, got delayed to 2022. Diablo 4, I don't know if it was ever slated, but we've seen multiple trailers for it.
Okay.
And again, what they told us Overwatch 2 was supposed to be,
yeah,
was an update to Overwatch 1 with some story content and like a PvP mode, or yeah, a PvE
mode. And essentially could be interchangeable with Overwatch 1, right? Like,
supposedly you would still be able to play multiplayer with Overwatch 1 if you never bought Overwatch 2.
Which to me is just like, why would I even buy Overwatch 2?
Because Overwatch 2 is supposedly like the story content.
Oh, it actually has like campaign and stuff?
Yeah, because again, it's rich in lore. It has a bunch of characters that everyone enjoys.
Yeah.
There's a Netflix series supposed to come out. if that's ever still happening now, I have no idea.
Cheers, love. The cavalry's here.
It's honestly gotten to the point where it's been delayed so much that I have a feeling they basically scrapped everything and restarted. Like, there's no other way to explain what is taking so long.
Still can't wait for the Final Fantasy IX on Netflix show to come out.
Is that Netflix?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 has been delayed. Blizzard Entertainment announced Tuesday, and those highly anticipated sequels may not be released until 2023, based on comments made during Activision Blizzard investor presentation. While we are still planning to deliver a substantial amount of content from Blizzard next year, we are now planning for a later launch for Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 than originally envisioned, Activision Blizzard said Tuesday. These are two of the most eagerly anticipated titles in the industry, and our teams have made great strides towards completion in recent quarters, but we believe giving the team some extra time to complete production and continue growing their creative resources to support the titles after launch will ensure that these releases delight and engage their communities for many years into the future. One of the things I do wonder is Activision is like under hot water for like all these awful allegations.
Yep.
I wonder if they delayed it as well as kind of a way to
let that like ride it out and
ride its course before.
Well, isn't Blizzard always under the hot seat too? Mm-hmm. Like,
they all are. Ubisoft's in the hot seat. We're just throwing everyone under the bus for being shitbags.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm always surprised when people are surprised to find out big corporations are acting like big corporations and not the people's person.
But not my big corporation. Mm. They would never do that.
Yeah, sure. Sure. They're not worried about their profits. They're worried
Square
about you.
Square would never do that, okay? I believe in Square Enix.
It's one of those things where whatever the fuck they're doing, they must have just dropped it.
Yeah.
It's also like, if you remember, Overwatch was like the biggest game ever.
Yeah.
For a while.
Dude, there was like, everyone talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tracer was literally everywhere.
Yeah, she's like one of the biggest porn characters ever.
You know, you're just trying to have a nice night to yourself and boom, cheers, love, the cavalry's in. It's like, leave me alone.
I was actually shocked that you said that and knew that. I was so, like, even the, Tracer's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Overwatch.
I played Overwatch for a little bit.
Did you?
You don't remember? I played it with you and Dylan.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember you ever coming out with the guys.
I didn't play for that long.
Who was your character?
I used to use what was his name?
Reaper. Describe him.
I used to use Reaper, but I used to use the Zenyatta.
Zenyatta, yeah.
He was my boy. I
with the orbs?
Yes. I didn't mind being a healer in that game.
Well, that's the one thing about that is it made all of the roles cool.
Yeah, and like you always felt essential to your team in some way.
Yeah.
Like plus killing people with healers is so much more rewarding, I think.
I always describe Overwatch as the Super Smash Bros. Of shooters.
Yeah, I get
even
that.
Even though it doesn't have like the legacy titles in it, it has all original characters, but they're all just so fun and interesting.
There's nobody bad enough to where like I would never use them.
But even when I hate a character, when my friend uses that character and tells me why they like it, that's when I'm like, shit, like, you know what,
I'm
that
just
character
using
is dope.
But like,
I used to hate Junkrat.
There's quality characters in each class that if you fail with one in that class, you're like, maybe I'm not good with them.
Yeah.
There's another character that you can try that actually you get to use the class the way it was meant to be used.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, there's balance here. You know what I mean? Like that's...
I found this meme that was like, what does your Overwatch character mean about you? And it was, because I use Hanzo.
Yeah.
And it said, uses Hanzo even on close quarter maps, douchebag. And I was like, they got me. They got me. But I'll use nothing but Hanzo. If someone else picks Hanzo on me, I will curse them out in that lobby. I don't give a shit.
Fucking Dylan every time. Took a two-piece, bitch.
Well, and then at least... So Diablo 4 delayed. At least we had the Diablo 2 remake this year, right?
Yeah.
Like, so there's some content in between.
Yeah.
We are getting something... And obviously Diablo 4 is going to be leagues better than Diablo 2, but Diablo 2 is coming out to favorable reviews.
Diablo 2 is like the Final Fantasy 7 of that series, man.
I will give you $20 if you don't bring up Final Fantasy anymore in the rest of this podcast, okay?
I can't promise it, but I'll hold you to it.
Okay. Let's see. Blizzard Entertainment has not officially communicated release dates for Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4, other than to say earlier this year that neither title would be released in 2021. Both games announced at BlizzCon 2019. So they were announced 2 years ago.
Yep.
It'll be about four, and they've probably been in development for even longer than that. So this is, we're looking 7 to 8 year development for at least Overwatch 2. I don't know about Diablo 4.
Oh my god, when did Overwatch come out? What year?
2016.
Oh my god.
And it won Game of the Year.
That feels like it's only 5 years ago, but that feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Because, no, I was still in college.
We were in college. We were 20.
Yeah.
21.
Yeah, that hurts.
We were just starting to drink. That hurts. Like legally.
You're just making me feel worse about myself. That's what I was trying to get at, and you kept going.
That's what I'm here for, baby.
In his delay announcement, Activision Blizzard cited working with new leadership in Blizzard and within Diablo and Overwatch franchises as contributors to the delays. Both franchises have seen shakeups in 2021. Diablo 4's original game director was exited from Blizzard in August in wake of the lawsuit against Activision Blizzard and alleged gender-based discrimination and sexual harassment at the bastards. Game publisher. He was replaced by a new game director in October. Overwatch has seen similar leadership changes. The game's original director left Blizzard in April, followed by its executive director in September. See, those are also like things that are usually a bad sign for a game.
Yeah. When you lose a director, when like the company's falling apart, probably never gonna see the game.
I never gonna think Diablo is gonna be fine because Diablo has never really like it's very popular.
Yeah,
people love it, but it never like gets too far into the mainstream.
Yeah,
where I don't think even Diablo 4 was gonna make it to the mainstream. I think Diablo fans are just gonna love Diablo regardless.
But, I mean, I will say there was like
I played Diablo 3 and loved Diablo 3, and I've never played a Diablo game.
I remember like my brother Michael would play Diablo. I mean, I watched him play Diablo 1 and Diablo 2, like mm-hmm. back when he had like remember that big like his first like Alienware laptop. That
yeah,
he had?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looked like a fucking jet computer.
Oh my god! So like I remember him playing it on that, and I remember like very rarely I would hear other people talk about the game, mm-hmm. and then once.
It looked like RuneScape, but on yeah. cocaine. Like
yes, cocaine. There's a mad cow level in one of them.
Yeah,
and then once like Diablo 3 came out, everyone I knew was talking about Diablo, and I was like, "Where the fuck did this come from?"
Dude, I remember I bought Diablo, was totally expect because I got it on sale. I'm a sales slut, so once I saw it half off, I grabbed it and I was trying it, and I was like, "Let's see how." And hooked. Immediately hooked.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just a looter. It's just like, go through this dungeon. You're going to get a ton of loot. Now go back again and get better loot. And it's just over and over and over.
Oh, yeah. And like, it's such... Like, that was one of the times I would watch him play and I was like, wow, I'm actually enjoying watching him play. Yeah. I hate watching him play games.
Well, and it's, again, one of those games where... You know, if I said RuneScape on cocaine, 3 is like Gauntlet, if you ever played the Gauntlet series. Oh, yeah,
I know Gauntlet.
That's Gauntlet on cocaine, because you actually get to create your own character. You get to upgrade his tree, the skill levels, however you want. Create your own character. And then, I never got to play with friends, but I could imagine when you run through those dungeons with your friends, it's even better.
Oh, yeah.
It's also like getting to the point where, when Overwatch 2 finally comes out, I don't know if anyone's going to care, really.
Well, you know, if it comes out in 2023, that's almost 7 years later.
Yeah.
Like from the hype.
This is a game that was big enough to get its own competitive esport league.
Yeah.
Where that esport league was the like premier esport league.
When do you think Overwatch?
Shout out to Boston Uprising.
Oh my god.
It was the worst team ever, and then our best player got caught with sexual assault allegations.
Son of a bitch.
So fuck them, but yeah.
Just treat people with respect. Like, when do you think Overwatch? Like popularity peaked 2020, 2019,
2018, 2019, maybe.
Yeah. So like, you know, that's why they needed this at 2020 and they needed it at 2021.
Well, I think one of the big issues is they kind of stopped with the content updates for Overwatch 1, right? Their idea was they were shifting all focus to Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
But now we just have a gap of nothing, right? So your game is your definitive game now.
Yeah.
This is it. And there's nothing to really pull back people like, usually,
if they just added like a separate story mode to Overwatch, that would have been enough reason to keep playing it, at least for a little bit.
Every year, other than this year, every year I usually go back in October. And the reason I do that is because they have the Halloween event.
Yeah.
And you can unlock the Halloween skins.
Yeah.
I didn't even fucking hear anything about it. It happened.
Yeah.
I just never heard anything about it. You know? Another one of the issues I have with Overwatch right now is they have it on everything, right? You can play it on the Nintendo Switch. It actually runs really well on the Nintendo Switch. It's 30 frames per second, but whatever. It does what it needs to do. I have it on the Xbox Series X. It runs a million times better on the Xbox Series X. It's on the PC. They need to have crossplay at this point, and they also need cross progression. There's no cross progression, and that's what hurts the most.
Yeah.
Is I have different skins on the Switch then I have different skins on my Xbox account.
Yeah.
Instead of just having all of my skins unlocked over your Blizzard account.
Yeah.
And that, like, makes me go, do I want to play? Which one do I want to play
yeah,
on?
Yeah, exactly.
Which one am I going to spend money on? It's kind of sick. Like, Fortnite figured it out. You guys can figure it out.
Yeah. Fortnite can do it. We all can do it, man.
Here are Nintendo Switch's 10 best-selling games. This is by Brian Ashcraft on Kotaku.com. I'll give a shout-out to Kotaku here. Usually I rip into Kotaku like every other week, but this is like, I was looking at the articles for this.
Yep.
They had the best one because they gave the most detail per the 10 games. Nintendo has just updated its list on Nintendo Switch all-time top-selling games. Which is it? Let's face it, a two-horse race between Mario Kart and Animal Crossing, but which one crosses the finish line first? Let's find out. The list is for worldwide life-to-date numbers as of September 30, 2021. These sales figures include bundled units and downloaded copies on top of regular box sales. So number 10, a little bit of a shocker, Ring Fit Adventure.
Do you remember when that was first announced and we were like, I'll wait for somebody else to play it before we... And, like, everyone loves Ring Fit.
There are so many times that we ripped into something on this podcast just for it to blow up.
Oh, my God. Anybody I know that still plays Ring Fit is like, I still enjoy exercising.
Downloadable content.
Yeah, no, I know.
They added, like, a whole new game
mode. And
yet,
like, people are burning, like, 500 calories doing, like, a couple levels.
It's actually... This is not a joke. It has gotten to the point the last couple months... I had honestly thought about maybe downloading it or buying the thing for extra. Because every time I go to Target with my fiance, it's like, oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
Like, I could pick it up, and it's in RPGs, which I enjoy.
You love fighting dragons. And you do Dragon Quests all the time.
So why not work out while doing it? And then I just don't, and I don't know why. And then,
Slim Fit Gags? Slaying dragons?
Slim Fit, I like that.
Slim
you know?
Fit Gags?
What is it? Thick but quick. number 9, Splatoon 2, released July 21st, 2017, 12.68 million copies. Sorry, so Ring Fit Adventure, by the way, 12.21 million copies. I wonder, though, too, how much that is because of COVID.
Oh, COVID definitely helped, because, like, think about it. Everyone was first in the beginning, and we were like, oh, we're getting fat, like, it's all right. And then by, like, 6 months, we were like, oh, no, we're getting fat. We need to do something about this.
Well, it's also, like, one of those things where...
Tiger King is over. We got to exercise again.
Yeah. Well, again, right? So if Tiger King season 2 is coming out, that means the pandemic hit a full circle. We're about to go into lockdown again. I might as well grab one. Splatoon 2, which I get. Splatoon,
dude,
was their newest IP, like original IP they've released.
You loved Splatoon 2.
It's one of the
You put a lot of time in it.
I have over 100 hours.
And I'm being honest. I enjoyed it. Like, you and I played a couple times whenever you bring it over, and I actually had fun every time we played.
I would, if I had a group... Like, if someone was like, hey, I'm hopping into Splatoon 2, I would do it, no questions asked.
All right, baby, let's go. Who we facing today?
And it's one of the... A lot of people give the online for Nintendo shit, the Switch shit.
Yeah.
This is one of the games where, like...
It runs perfect.
Like, when you're in a battle, yes. The only... It's got those weird issues to it, though. When you get into, like, a lobby, you can't really invite your friends.
Yeah.
If your friends are in the lobby, for some reason, it doesn't know, hey, these are your friends, so...
Yeah.
Sometimes you end up against them or with them, which kind of works out sometimes because it's like, oh, now I'm going against my friend.
Yeah.
You know? So it's weird.
It's one of those things how you can have some games that, like, Call of Duty's been out for a bajillion years and they've always had lobby, like, success. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how these companies are like, oh, we'll just do what they're doing, but make it our game's version.
Yeah.
Like, how is it not? Because it's not like they can be like, oh,
Nintendo doesn't give a fuck about online.
They really don't.
They don't give a flying
fuck.
They
really don't.
Number 8, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, released November 16th, 2018. Life-to-date sales of 13.83 million.
It's times. A Pokemon game. Let's, yeah.
And I hate Pokemon games being in it because they count both versions to
Yeah, I know. That's not fair. But at the same time, there are guys like you. Didn't you buy both versions?
No.
Oh. So there
I have stopped. I've...
There
I hit
are
that
people
where I don't need it.
There are people who always buy both versions, mm-hmm. sometimes three versions. When they used to release all three. So I mean,
I've also gotten to that part in my life where I don't pre-order a digital copy anymore.
Yep.
Because I realize they're never gonna fucking sell out. So just pre-order it the night before, so it pre-downloads.
Yeah.
But don't give them $60 3 weeks in advance for no reason. You know?
Like, yeah.
you
and Dylan with the pre-orders back in the day.
Well, before, when I was younger, it was cool because if you pre-ordered from like a a physical store,
yeah,
you'd get a physical, tangible item.
Yeah.
Now they're giving you like NFTs and bullshit like
that.
Yeah,
so it's like, what's the point?
Yep. Great. I got my PNG, my JPEG. number 7, Super Mario Party released October 5th, 2018. Life to date, 16.48 million copies.
It's Mario Party.
This is a Mario Party that people didn't like.
And I find that weird because I've played it, and haven't you played it too?
You played it here with me.
Exactly. And it's such a good game.
You got Mario Party, bitch, because I won that game.
Yeah, I'm bullshit because your fiance screwed me over in the literally the last possible moment.
That's what happens, buddy.
She was on my team literally the entire time until last minute. She was like, guess I got all the gags win.
The weird thing was, this was, again, released 2018. It did that weird thing where it added online this year.
Like Mario Party, like if we're not doing couch co-op because of COVID, then we need to have online play.
Well, agreed, but it came out in 2018. Why didn't you give it to us during COVID?
No,
why
I know.
Wait until COVID was almost over, and we're about to hit full cycle and go back into it. Who knows?
That's why.
Well, no, because then
Pandemic 2, baby.
They just released a better Mario Party.
So we're up. We're updating the pandemic. We're 2.0.
Yeah, it's such a weird
COVID Party 8.
And it's one of those weird moves, too, where it's like, this might actually hurt the sales of the new Mario Party, so why did you...
Because it's not.
Yeah.
Because it's Nintendo, and yep. It's not.
100%. Number 6, Super Mario Odyssey, release date of October 27, 2017, life to date, 21.95 million copies.
For a Mario game?
Fantastic. I'm pretty sure this is the best-selling Mario game. No, I should... 3D Mario game.
Yeah.
I think Super Mario 1 is technically because it came boxed in with the NES.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I could be completely wrong talking out of my ass. Again, a great game. 22 million copies, though, is ridiculous. Number 5, Pokemon Sword and Shield, release date November 15th, 2019. 22.64 million copies.
Oh, just so you know, I have it. Sorry.
Yep. No, so, good.
Yeah, the original Mario Brothers is the best selling, and it has sold 40 million copies. All right,
yeah, all right, so I because as soon as I said it, I realized you ignorant slut. That's not even true. It's definitely not the best selling. What's number 2? Does it say?
It's actually number 1 on your list here.
Oh, it uses Mario Kart?
Yeah, I guess.
That's bullshit.
Mario, because then Mario Kart Wii is 3.
Yep.
Super Mario Brothers on the DS. New Super Mario Brothers.
Does that have?
30.8.
30.8.
Yeah.
That's another one that people did not really care about.
Isn't that weird?
And I thought that was a good one.
Isn't it weird to think that Odyssey is, what, like 7 or 8 on this list at 21 million? That's insane.
Well, again, because 2D Mario, from my understanding, sells better than 3D Mario.
Yeah.
So it's not that crazy to me. But I'm pretty sure this is just like a really good selling 3D Mario game.
You know what the worst selling Mario game of all time is?
Let me think.
You'll never guess this.
Well, is it like a bullshit like CDI Mario in school or something?
Believe it or not,
no. All right, so let me think. Is it New Super Mario Bros. On the Wii?
No, that one is actually right below the New Super Mario's on the DS.
Really? All right, so.
At like 29.8 million.
Second guess, Super Mario Land 2?
No.
On the Game Boy Color?
Nope. That one is actually down here, but not at the bottom.
All right. What's the worst selling Mario game?
It's a spinoff. It's a spinoff series, but it's Mario Party 6 on the GameCube.
Oh, fuck that.
Million copies.
That's.
But isn't that kind of funny? Thinking it only sold 1 million copies.
Well, I'm thinking like actual Mario games.
Wow. And then Mario and Luigi. Oh no, Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. That is second. It's from the bottom. 1.06.
See, I don't consider those part of the, like the mainline Mario series sales.
Because like it adds Strikers, yep. Mario and Donkey Kong.
Oh, fuck that bullshit.
All that shit in here too. So, but
yeah, crazy. All right, number 5 again. Pokemon Sword and Shield. Again, we said it.
Yeah, Pokemon games are just going to be there. We all know
Pokemon is the biggest IP in the world,
And it's literally Nintendo's like saving grace in the midnight.
Must be printing money though too, because remember this is the first one with paid DLC. They didn't do a third version instead, which I prefer. I prefer the DLC idea compared, because before you would play, I'm just going to use, what's it called? Ruby and Sapphire, right?
Yeah.
And then year later they give you Emerald, which is basically that game with an additional chapter.
Emerald essentially could get all the shit that you would need both games for in that one game. So you're almost like, why didn't I just wait for this one to come out?
Right, because again, they do it for all of them, right? Yeah. You had Gold and Silver, and then you got Crystal.
Yeah.
You got Emerald and Ruby, then you get Sorry, you get Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, Diamond and Pearl, and then you got fucking Platinum.
Exactly. They do it every, so instead of doing a DLC, they do that because it gives you that additional chapter or some bullshit. But you're right. It gives you all the content from the two as well.
Like, I think instead of doing the, oh, you need the other version to get all the Pokemon to complete the Pokedex, I think you're missing like two or three or something, that like, because they already know you already have the other game.
Yeah.
You can just transfer it over, so you'd be fine.
Well, and I prefer the fact that this is additional story that you don't have to go back and beat the original game to go experience.
Yeah.
Where this one was just like, here it is. Wherever you are in the game, you can now.
Yeah, exactly.
And it scales the levels to where you are. Number four, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, March 3rd, 2017. This was a launch title. 24 million copies.
Such a good fucking game.
Great.
Totally
game.
Totally deserves all the copies it sold.
Now, this is the best-selling Legend of Zelda game. I know that for a fact, because it was never a pack-in with the other ones.
Yeah.
That's the only reason, as soon as I said it, I was like, there's no shot Super Mario Bros. Didn't sell more. I think like the next best seller might be Ocarina of Time. I'm hoping.
No.
But what's number one?
Number one's Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. In its way, is it double almost?
Triple.
It's triple the. All right. So is it Link to the Past?
Nope.
All right. So if it's not Ocarina or Link to the Past, is it Wind Waker? Because they released that like five times.
No.
Jesus Christ. What is it?
It's Twilight Princess at 8 million.
You know what? Because the Wii sold so many consoles.
Yes. And take a guess. Take a guess at. That's the original Twilight Princess, because they have Twilight Princess HD here at the bottom for the Wii U.
How many do they have there?
1.1. But
all right, so almost 9 million?
But the worst-selling Zelda game is Four Swords Adventures with under a million copies. It basically sold...
Right, because that's a lot to ask to want to buy that game. In fact, I've always talked about it. You know, the first time I ever played Link to the Past was because I bought Four Swords.
Yeah, the Game Boy cartridge? The one
yes.
With the double? That's how I played it, too.
Because I thought I could just play Four Swords, and if someone else had it, they would just play the game with
me. Can't believe there are versions that are below Spirit Track. Like, I can't believe there are copies below Spirit Tracks that sold worse than Spirit Tracks. That game sucked.
Well, there's Triforce Heroes is way worse than that.
Yes, and that one is below. At one point, that one's third from the bottom. Minish Cap's above that, which I find odd.
Especially because people love Minish Cap.
I know! I love Minish Cap. Wind Waker HD is below that.
Again, if they were to put Wind Waker HD on the Switch, that would sell 10 million copies easy. I'd put my life on it. I'll put my life on it. That would sell 10 million copies.
A Link to the Past is 7. Like the original Super Nintendo version. Ocarina of Time 3D is 5th. Ocarina of Time N64 is 3rd.
Well, so one of the good ways to kind of gauge it, though, is if you think about how many consoles they have out at that time.
Yeah.
So, like, the 3DS sold so many consoles.
No, yeah.
And it also, like...
I just find it weird that it's not weird, because, like, Mario didn't... Or no, I guess Mario doesn't really have any HD versions, but, like, I'm just surprised that they're counting HD versions separately.
Yeah, usually you put them all together.
Yeah, that's why I'm finding it weird. Like, this list is weird.
Number three, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, 25.71 million. This released December 7th, 2018. This is technically, depending on how you look at it, the highest-selling fighting game of all time.
I mean, how? Like, what's another way to look at it?
Some people consider it a party game.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think it's a fighting game.
It's definitely a fighting game. The whole point is to fight.
Right, but it's got the items and the randomness.
Yeah, but like, if it was a party game, there would be other modes. That's different than like time attack.
Home run contest.
Okay, maybe it is a party game. I don't know. All right, it might just be a party game.
Get to the goal or whatever it is, where you have to race to the end.
I don't even remember that mode. So
I'm trying to think. They have like a couple other bullshit things, but they have the, you know, 100-man trial where they just put 100.
It's a party game that's a little curious on what it's like to be fighting.
Number two, Animal Crossing New Horizons, March 20th, 2020. 34.85 million.
The fact
copies.
That this isn't number one is.
Is it though? Think about it. It's been out a year.
But okay, and it sold 34 million copies in a year.
Almost 35 at this point.
In a year.
Or so over a year now, because it came out last March, so it's
but like okay,
it's heading
so
to
like
year two.
So like almost yeah, so like 1.7 years, like 1.8 years, like what the fuck, man?
That's insane.
And, but like they're still doing DLC and like they're still doing shit like
the newest DLC just came out and it pulled me back in. I'm playing now right? Like, I went on, and your fucking villagers hardcore shame you. They're like, oh, I haven't seen you in 6 months. It's like, motherfucker, I had real shit going on. Don't tell me about your bullshit problems.
Bro, they can't exist without you, okay? Their lives depend on you.
But it's if you talk to him, one of them is like, I took a nap, woke up, and I couldn't find my sandwich. And it's like, I wish I had that problem.
Dude, his life is hard, okay? Yeah. Yo, is your fiance going to play too?
She like, was playing as when I got back from work.
There we go. The bells. No, the shells, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's bells. It's
the bells.
But it's given me...
The turnips, whatever it is.
After a while, I had so much money, and the other currency is like Nook Points.
Yeah.
Where it was like, what do I do with all... Finally, this is like, all right, these things are like expensive, but I need to start working.
Man, I finally understand the rich man's play. Like, what do I do? I can't... I've got no children in the game to leave it to.
I go to video games to escape and experience things I can't experience in the real world, like buying a house.
To be a rich man. to work hard and actually accumulate wealth in a short amount of time.
Number one, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, release date April 28th, 2017.
That is just...
Life to date, 38.74 million
copies. Who the fuck... What 38 million people bought that game?
It's a really good game.
And I agree and I get it. But like 38 million?
And don't forget, this is technically...
Almost 5 years. Yeah.
It's older than 5 years. It's like, I think the original came out 2013.
Yeah, but I'm saying like from this port, it's been almost 5 years, man.
But think about it. If anyone ever goes to the store to buy their kid for Christmas or anyone a gift, right?
You're getting Deluxe, you're getting Ultimate, and you're getting Zelda. Like,
or off Mario the bat. Odyssey. Or you know?
It's one of those four off the bat.
It's
Mom, I want Xenoblade Chronicles 2, or don't even bother.
We have Xenoblade Chronicles at home, and it's
the first game. I need an update. I need my anime girls.
2014, Mario Kart 8 released in 2014.
Dude, we were college freshmen when that game came out.
I remember getting it.
We were 18 years old.
I remember getting it sophomore year of college. Sophomore fucking year. I remember being hyped when the DLC trailer came out and it showed Link.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, you know, and now he's just a character in the game. Like,
now we're basically almost dead.
But everyone is always like, how come we're not getting Mario Kart 9? It's because of this shit.
Yeah.
It's because by the end of the year, this is going to hit.
Why do they even need Mario? So, like, dude, people are going to be like, in like probably 2 years, they're going to be like, where's the next Smash Bros? Why? He doesn't need to do any more Smash Bros.
No.
This is it.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the highest selling Mario Kart game now. That even beats the Wii version.
Yeah.
I don't even understand where to fucking stop. What do you even do? Like, at this point, I'm surprised they haven't just made Nintendo Kart, right? Like, no more Mario Kart. Just make it Nintendo characters. Like, that would sell even more.
Oh, yeah.
You looking up the numbers? Before you even tell me, I want to guess right now. Number one, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number two, Mario Kart Wii. And then number three, Mario Kart DS are the top three. That's what I'm guessing right now.
Oh my god. It beat the Wii version by...
like 0.1 or something. It's like,
pretty much.
I only know that because that was the news. Is like, it's the top selling.
Let's see.
So number one is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number two is Wii.
Yep.
Tell me number three is the DS. This is where I don't know.
Yes, 23.6 million. And
yep.
Then
and then the 3DS version?
Four.
Yep.
At 18.95. And then five.
Because again, when I had a DS, like the big three games you needed to have.
Take a guess what five is. I bet you'll never guess it.
All right, number five is the SNES one.
Nope, I think that's six.
All right, Mario Kart 64.
There it is.
Damn, I was close to 64, but I was like, I don't know. The SNES might have.
Actually, you know what the worst selling one is?
Is it? Don't tell me it's Double Dash.
No, Double Dash. Double Dash.
Is it the NES one? There's only eight of them. Is it technically the Wii U version of this game?
No, it's Mario Kart Live Home Circuit on the Switch.
Oh, well, fuck that. That's not a game.
And then the mobile one is free. So, but okay, if we're not counting the other Switch version, then the lowest selling one is Super Circuit on the GBA at 5.9.
I forgot about that one completely.
I don't think I ever knew that one existed.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I had that one.
Man.
All right, so including these numbers that we got, right?
Yep.
Skyward Sword for the HD has sold 3.6 million copies.
Yep.
And it's already outsold the lifetime sales of the Wii version.
That's insane.
1 year, you know?
That's insane.
But also, I'm pretty sure... I forget what the controversy was with Skyward Sword when it first came out. I don't remember if it was an art style thing. Because if you remember, Twilight Princess came first.
Yeah.
And then Skyward Sword came later.
Skyward Sword's biggest problem, and it was still... it had a similar problem with the way the Switch control worked. But like it was the motion controls.
But Twilight Princess was motion controls.
But for some reason, everyone had more of a problem with the way it worked. Was Twilight Princess also like you had to swing the remote to swing the sword?
Yeah.
There must
but
have just
you
been
know
some...
what? I know what you're talking about. So Twilight Princess was swing the sword to attack.
Yeah.
But Skyward Sword is heavily swing this direction to slice this way exactly.
Yeah. Like... But
Skyward Sword had so much doper shit that you could buy with the Wii. Remember you got the gold Wii remote with the gold nunchuck?
Yeah.
That was Legend of Zelda themed?
Yeah. But, like, the original version, because the game forces you to try and do all this extra shit, too.
Yeah, you still do, and it's a pain in the ass even on the Switch.
Yeah, so...
Do you know that you flick the right stick to swing?
You were telling me about it. Yeah. So people were just like, I'm not...
But it's kind of backwards from the way you would think, because it's the way you want to swing, not...
You have to swing like you're doing... You have to go the opposite way to swing the right direction.
Yes, because it's where you would start to where you would finish.
Yeah.
So if you want to swing from...
Like top left to bottom right.
You got to start from the top left and go bottom right. It's once you get it...
Yeah.
It's fine, but it's one of those things that you kind of like 20 minutes in, you're like, ah, fuck, it's like this.
When you're fighting a boss, you're down in your last quarter heart, and you're like, oh, shit, I did that one attack, and then you did it backwards. You're like, no!
It's also one of those games that I remember it being way uglier than it actually is.
But, like, you know, in the newer versions, like, for better resolution, I'm sure it looks fine.
Oh, yeah,
100%. But, like,
100%.
But you know what it was? Like, Link's face just has, like, a weird glow to it.
It is. He's one of my least favorite looking Links.
Yeah. And
in Zelda's, too.
Yeah, and I get, like, they're supposed
Nothing
to be...
Nothing I would watch porn, too.
They're supposed to be, like, the first of each.
Yeah.
And I get it. But that was part of the problem. It was coming off of Twilight Princess, where Link was edgy and cool and dark.
To go back to this,
like, almost cartoony, but, like...
He's very cartoony. No, he is.
He's still realistic in the sense, like, he's... But, like, he's not Toon Link, but, like, you know what I mean?
It's almost... Not realistic enough and too unrealistic to the point it's just unsettling.
Yeah, he's just like, he's just kind of looking at you like.
And I thought I had a nose. That motherfucker has a nose.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I love my favorite line from like a YouTube video about it, that game is like the tutorial mission where you go get a cat off the roof. He's like, what are we doing? Like, Adventure Link, cat delivery man.
I'm not even sure if it was a cat. It was like just an ugly animal.
What's your tagline? Cat's out of the bag and onto the roof.
it was a weird tutorial. New Pokemon Snap, 2.2 million copies sold.
Yo, everyone went ape shit for that game.
And I'm surprised it only hit 2. I mean, 2.2 is a lot. Don't get me wrong,
but everyone,
I would have thought 5 easily.
Dude, everyone was like, I can't fucking wait for Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon?
Yeah. And again, they played through it the one time, and then nobody talked about it again.
That's my issue with Pokemon Snap, is like,
and
I feel like it's a $20 game.
And everyone made it sound like when they played Snap on the 64, that like, I did 900 circuits of that game, and I caught everything. It's like, no, there's no way you did that.
Honestly, I might have, because back then, the games you had were the games you had. And, you know, if I didn't get to hit Blockbuster Video...
I feel like if I was having a bad day, if I was just really mad, I might pop in Pokemon Snap.
But you're also an idiot kid, and the internet was a lot different back then, where we didn't get the guides to figure out everything all the time for ourselves. Remember you used to have to print out guides?
Dude.
Because you only had internet access for a little bit?
Yep. And if somebody...
You don't have it in your pocket to figure it out.
And if somebody, you know, called you, you lost your shit. Hey, get off the internet. The house phone's trying to ring. I've only been calling you 8 times.
Mario Golf Super Rush, 1.94 million copies.
Dude, my son and my daughter will never know what that was like, and that really terrifies me.
What the?
I'm going to be talking like, they're going to be like, all right, old man.
It's a good time, though. And then the Switch console itself has sold 92.87 million. So almost 93 million consoles.
Insane.
I think. Are you looking up the console sales now for Nintendo?
Yep.
I don't remember which the top dog is. So hold on. Let me think. Let me get a guess. Number one
Wii? If it's not, then I'm going 3DS. Is number one the Wii?
Hold on, let me load.
I think it goes Wii, 3DS, then the Nintendo Switch. I think the GameCube might be the worst selling. Or no, sorry. The Wii U is, I think, by far the worst selling, with like 13 million consoles sold.
I'm trying to find a good list. Because the one I just did was like backwards.
All right, while you're looking that up, I'm going to read the next story because it pertains to Nintendo too. So Nintendo says it will improve and expand Nintendo Switch Online. This is by Tom Phillips on Eurogamer.net. Nintendo has revealed its latest user figure for Nintendo Switch Online and a rise of 6 million paid subscribers over the last 12 months. 32 million people are now Switch Online subscribers as of the 30th September 2021, up from 26 million people last year. That count will no doubt have risen higher if the past month with the launch of the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion packs will also be bringing in higher revenues per users too. But the launch of the expansion pack has not been as smooth as hoped, as users have pointed out issues with the performance and controls in various games. In the latest corporate management briefing, Nintendo said it would continue to improve and expand both Nintendo Switch Online and Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, striving to provide services that satisfy customers. Do you even have an online account?
What, for the Switch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
All right. So do you ever touch the NES, SNES games?
Every once in a while.
I feel like I'm like one of the very few who actually play them.
Yeah.
Again, I love the fact that you can buy the controller.
Yeah.
And then it's almost, I'll talk about just the NES, SNES. Yeah. There's no lag. There's no nothing.
No, yeah.
Those. That's how I got to finally play Super Metroid.
See, like, I feel like if I had some of the old controllers, I think, like, Castlevania, I think, would feel better to me. Mm-hmm. Like, Ninja Gaiden would feel better to me. Because, the Switch controllers, like, they're way more sensitive.
Yep.
So, half the time I end up...
There's no real D-pad.
Yeah.
There's no real D-pad.
I know. So, like, I'm trying to use the analog to do something I need a D-pad for. Yep. So, I feel like I'm always hopping off shit that I'm not supposed to. Or, like, I can't get a good grip on what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had... Remember when we were doing the retro rewinds or whatever?
Yeah.
And we were playing. Whenever I would play handheld, I would have to use the Switch Lite because at least that has a D-pad on it compared to the regular Switch.
Yeah.
And that worked out way better when I was playing like F-Zero or Metroid.
Yeah.
Than if I was playing on the TV with the actual SNES controller we could buy for it.
I get you. I know what you mean.
Do you have the
So it doesn't have all the systems. It just goes from the top 10.
Yep.
So number 10. What do you think it is?
So hold on. Like, is this Nintendo 10, only or
Nintendo top? Only? Okay. Nintendo
number
only.
10 is this is the top the
10. 10 is bottom and number
Let
one.
Let me start from one. I think that's easier.
Number one.
All right, ready? One Wii.
No.
3DS.
No.
Really, motherfucker? What the? Oh, is it gonna be like the Game Boy?
No. You're almost close with 3DS.
The DS?
The regular DS sold 154 million consoles.
Because it's had so many iterations. It's like DS, DS Lite, DSi, DSi XL. All right, so it goes DS, 3DS.
No.
DS Wii.
No.
DS Game Boy Color?
Game Boy Color at 118 million.
All right, then the Wii?
Yes, 101 million.
Okay, then the Switch.
85. Well, this must not be updated yet, but like 85. So they must not be updated for like this year. But
give it another like month, and the Switch is gonna out. It's gonna till the end of the Christmas season.
Oh yeah,
especially with the OLED that just came out.
It'll be moving to three. Number five.
Number five is the.
I'm gonna give you a hint. It's another handheld.
Game Boy Advance.
Yep, 81 million.
Again, the problem with the handhelds is they get so many iterations. With the Switch too, like the,
but
the
but well, here's the thing: so iterations. They're counting them separately here because
even the SP.
So they're not counting that one here, but like because remember how you were like, oh, the 3DS and the DS and all is all the same. It's number the 3DS is number six at 75.
Yeah.
Number seven is the original Super original Nintendo 61.
Yep.
Eight is Super Nintendo with 49.
Okay.
Nine is Nintendo 64 at 32.
Yep.
And then GameCube is last at 21.
Right. So then the Wii U is even further back.
Oh, yeah.
That is like 12.87 million consoles sold. Like just a disaster. I have started to play. Have you seen kind of like the backlash for the N64 games on the Switch yet?
Just because like it's so little and...
It's so little. First off, an online membership is $20.
Yeah.
If you want the expansion plus, it's an additional 30, which gives you N64 games and Sega Genesis, which is weird. And then it gives you the Animal Crossing New Horizons DLC, which that is $25 alone. So yeah. If you're buying that, you might as well just buy the Switch Plus expansion.
Yeah.
Because for $5 extra, you get all the additional content as well.
Yeah.
And then I bought the controller, so that's another $50. Like, they know how to fucking hit you where it hurts. I have started to play some of the N64 games. I think the real problem with the N64, they don't hold up as well as, like...
No.
They hold up, like... They age like milk.
See, like, I think the N64 and the PlayStation 1 are two consoles that we look through with rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
It's just because, like, some of the controls might be fine.
No, they're not.
But, like...
Think about the Trident controller on the N64. That is the worst controller ever invented.
That design is something...
Your brother Dylan tells me he holds it on the two ends.
I don't know. I'm telling you,
that's a lie.
I've seen him play the N64. He won't. He's gonna call me an idiot. And he's gonna say my memory sucks and that it's not as good as his and whatever. But I've seen him. We've played games together. There's no good way to hold it like this because the D-pad is what I mean. The analogs would always usually move to character. There was no game.
So I asked him to do that. So now he's trying to reach over with his thumb and he looks like an idiot. Yeah, he's committed. You know,
Our hands were smaller back then. There was no fucking way.
He still couldn't do it, even with his grown-up hands.
There's no way.
And then I was like, "Yo, you use the Z trigger to shoot. So how are you shooting at the same time?" And he's like, "How am I supposed to hit the left trigger?"
And for the most part, the only reason you need the D-pad in those games was to control the camera. Or, like, control a menu.
Yeah, because usually it's the C button.
Almost every game used the analog to move. Mm-hmm. So, you would have to want... You'd need a hand here.
Yep.
There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
I think he just doesn't remember that you would switch, depending on what side of the controller you needed.
Right.
You know what I mean? We got good at that. There's no way.
Listen, we both agree he's an idiot. No? This might be the first thing we agree on.
Can I make a new ad where I just talk about how he's an idiot?
Now, do you think Nintendo is actually going to improve and expand this Nintendo Switch Online service? It's weird that they added the Animal Crossing New Horizon DLC to it. Where do you think they, moving forward, DLC that comes out for the first-party games is just included in their online service? Or do you think this was a one-and-done to get people to shut up?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Nintendo has never been the type to fold to... pressure.
Yeah.
We've been saying it since episode one. Nintendo does not give a shit about anybody's feelings.
No.
They just
cry to myself to sleep every night. Man.
They are the most officially well-oiled machine when it comes to running a company.
Giving you a corporate response and making it sound fun.
Dude, freaking, what is it? I saw that meme where the guy was like, yo, I sent this to, like, it. They couldn't get a game to fit on the controller, and they couldn't get a game to fit or something, so Nintendo sent him a picture that was like, you know, don't do that then. And yeah. I was like, dude, what the fuck? Nintendo, man. I don't know. They're not going to.
No more DLC, right?
No. They're going
to. We know there are future games coming to the N64 service. Does that mean the NES and SNES just don't receive any more games?
I mean.
Are they like old console?
Here's the thing. The only games left that we'd want from those are the ones that we don't already have. But like the popular ones that they're not going to
shit TA. That's why we want.
No, but I'm saying that they're not going to put on.
But it's like weird because it's like, why isn't Earthbound on?
It was on the Wii U,
right? It's on other consoles. Why is it not on the online service? Why isn't Super Mario RPG there?
Dude, that one still eats me.
Give me Chrono Trigger.
I just want to be able to play Chrono Trigger once in my fucking life before I die.
But there are so many games where it's like, where the fuck are you?
Well, think about it. Super Nintendo. And everyone says I'm going to lose my $20 here, but that's the definitive port of Final Fantasy VI. That everyone loves that version of that game.
And I get it, right? So Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI, thank God I'm keeping my $20, are Square Enix. If they don't come, there's an explanation for it. Yeah. I fully understand.
So is Super Mario RPG.
But I don't know who technically owns the rights.
Yeah.
But Earthbound is just Nintendo.
Yeah.
Where is it? You know, and it's not like they don't talk about Earthbound. They talk about Earthbound.
Oh, yeah.
They even put Ness in Smash Bros.
Yes.
They put Lucas in Smash
Bros. I know, and we're never going to see Mother 3. We're never going to see it, so.
Never. Like, it's just so weird. It's...
You know, and Earthbound is just a really funny thing to think about, too, because that game did so horribly, like, when it first came out, that you'd think they would want to, and, like, once...
If they gave me Earthbound, I would commit to beating it.
Didn't you? I thought you already beat it.
I like, had to use such a guide, had to, like, handhold my way through it.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I don't even remember what was going on.
Yeah.
And I
Does anyone ever actually know what's going on in Earthbound?
Well, the thing is, like, I'm skipping dialogue and just going to the next
Like, part. A meteor falls and a voice is like, Ness, go save the world. And you're like, okay, I'm like, Mom, I'm taking my bat. I'm going to go beat the shit out of animals.
I just remember the, like, one, there were pencil doors that you use an eraser to open.
Yep.
And then you use a time machine and fight the final boss.
Well, yeah, dude, you put your soul into robots.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, you transfer your souls into robots, send them back in time. And then you go fight Gygax, like in the alt, in like in the separate dimension.
And it's basically, people say, and the reason why it doesn't come is because that was a metaphor for an abortion or something. Yeah. It's just like, weird. Can I play it? Can I figure it out?
Yeah, can I? Let me interpret it my own way.
That's where it's like, I don't know if this, and I understand like Nintendo doesn't care about online, but fix your fucking servers, man. Yeah. Like some of them are so bad. Like imagine if. You know, Smash Bros. Is at 26 million copies. Imagine if you could host tournaments online.
Dude.
Imagine, you know, simple things that games have been doing for years you could just do.
And, like, what's crazy is, too, is, like, you know, then they could justify, if they wanted to, increasing prices of membership and things.
And no one would say boo because you're getting an actual...
Think about it. Like, remember when we were 13?
Yeah.
We would be like, all right, we're all jumping on Gears of War. We're all jumping on Call of Duty. And we would do that for hours.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to host a Smash Bros. Tournament anytime you wanted.
Right. Again, I have done private Smash Bros. Lobbies where I play Smash Bros. With friends for hours.
But imagine doing it with strangers and your friends and being like...
One of the things that still kills me, and I don't understand it, if you play a private lobby on Smash Bros. Online,
yep.
Me and you need our own consoles. Yes. I can't bring two people from the same console online for a private lobby, but you can do it for a public.
And wasn't the whole fucking point of, like, the Switch?
And then also, just give me party chat. How do I still not have voice chat on a console in 2021, about to be 2022?
Because it's a handheld. That's the problem.
The Nintendo DS had voice chat.
We had Picto chat. I don't. You must not remember it correctly. We had
Picto. No, I remember.
No, I'm joking. Pokemon. You're joking.
I remember playing Pokemon Diamond and finding out it had voice chat.
Do you not remember us swearing at each other in Picto chat?
Well, that's where you got the dick pic. So that's what's fun. next news story of the week: Netflix gaming service now available in the U.S. This is by Taylor Lyles on IGN.com. Netflix announced today that it has expanded its gaming service to over 190 countries, including the United States and Canada. However, the game and feature still requires subscribers to own either an Android smartphone or tablet to play. Netflix games will start rolling out to Netflix mobile app starting November 3rd. Users can also download Netflix games from Google Play Store starting today. Among the games included in the service is Stranger Things 3, the game. Unfortunately, you will not be able to use a wireless controller or a mobile controller like the Razer Kakishi, as the games on Netflix games app uses touch controls only when playing in the Netflix official app. Netflix notes that the games app requires a subscription to its streaming service and that there are no ads, additional fees, or microtransactions. While iOS support is not available yet, Netflix says it will roll out in the coming months. So this is like a weird move Netflix did.
Dude, this to me, it seems just as stupid as Disney being like, we're going to introduce our own anime studio. Or like we're going to be doing anime. Like, just stop. don't branch out of your zone. Please don't branch out of your zone.
The weird thing is too, they bought Night School Studio, which is like an actually decently well-known studio. They have two fairly popular indie games. I don't know if you ever heard of Oxenfree.
No, I haven't.
So the Oxenfree was like a pretty big indie hit, and then they had another indie hit called After Party.
Okay.
And After Party is like one of those. Both games are kind of like those, like walking simulators almost, but yeah, like with a full depth story.
I think I remember
interactive novels. I guess
I think I remember After Party.
After Party is you died and went to hell.
Yeah.
You wake up in hell, and the only way to escape hell is to out drink and out party the devil.
Yeah. Okay. I do remember that one. Yes.
Yep. And again, it is a game that can easily be played on a mobile phone or tablet,
yeah,
without needing, you know, precise decision controls. And same thing with Oxenfree. It's just like a weird, I don't know why they're doing it or what they
are.
Think
they not making enough money consistently making quality TV shows?
But
and
I
movies?
Don't know if this is even going to bring them more money. You know,
well, they're hoping it will. after all the money they're going to put into it.
But I would prefer, because like Stranger Things 3, the game, is on Nintendo Switch and consoles.
Yeah.
I would think selling them as individual games on those consoles would bring you more money than just putting it on...
Unless they're just not making enough of the percentage they want, like from Nintendo sales, and then...
But my thing is, if you just put it on the mobile app and it's already included with the subscription fee that you're paying already...
You're not making any more. So,
yeah, where's the additional money coming from
then? Yeah. I'm assuming they're hoping they're going to try and get kids to sign up again from their parents' accounts. You know what I mean?
It's one of those weird things where it's also kind of like... I would have assumed when Netflix says it was looking into games, you were going to get more of those interactive kind of
shows.
Like Bouldergeist or whatever the hell it was called.
Like the Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's the
Bandersnatch.
Thank you. I said Bouldergeist. Bandersnatch.
And that was honestly really fun.
A Bear's Grill one for some reason.
Yeah.
Like that was more of the stuff I was thinking. Like those interactive kind of.
Yeah.
Not these mobile app games. I don't know. I don't know what the point is. You know, usually I'm like, all right, I can see where this is going.
When's the last time you opened the App Store to play a game?
Honest to God, I have no idea.
So, like...
Honest to God. But you know what? That's a good question, because how many little kids do you think still have an iPod Touch and are just loading them with games?
iPod Touch? I don't think it can even handle the latest Apple like updates.
Well, probably an iPhone then. I don't know when you get an iPhone. But how many kids are probably just loading them up games?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, not for iPhones, but iPads. You know, family iPad. They're just loaded full of games.
So maybe that's who this is for.
It's not for us. Why would we think it's us? We're 25 years old.
But also, like, are you going to have a 10-year-old play After Party?
I mean...
Playing the devil.
We're just trying to give them incentive to go to college. You know what I mean?
It's just like...
If you're going to drink a college frat, brothers, the devil would be no problem, son.
And then we have... Sega and Microsoft announced Next Gen Development Alliance. This is by Zachary Grief on GameRant.com.
Sega never dies.
In order to develop newer and better games, Sega and Microsoft announced a partnership that involves Sega developing titles with Microsoft Azure. So Microsoft Azure is their cloud-focused gaming kind of network. Game development is a lengthy process with some game companies and devs opting to make decisions that affect their titles years in advance. In the case of Microsoft and Sega, they've just announced a decision to collaborate on further gaming developments together. Sega and Microsoft have formed an alliance aiming to use their strengths to help both companies with future projects going forward.
Doesn't Microsoft own Sega?
No.
No?
Sega is its own
company.
Still
alive?
So there are so many rumors all the time.
I swear, I thought Microsoft owned them.
No. But that's kind of a good point because...
Well, look, I've seen Nintendo games. Like, I've seen Sega games run through Nintendo. Like...
Yep.
Like, Nintendo owns the rights to them. Or, like, whatever.
No,
there was a Bleach game that was, like for the anime.
Yeah.
That was released on the DS. But, like, Sega's name was on it, but Nintendo's logo followed right after. So, I was like...
Right, because it's on the DS.
But, like... I don't know how that works, then. Like,
so, if you turn on... what is it? Minecraft on your PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's Microsoft.
True. Yeah.
You know? Like...
Okay.
It's kind of a... Sega has been kind of developing almost shit games for a while. Like, I don't want to say shit games because they're not all shit, but like so many games and misses at times, and there's always rumors going around that they might get purchased.
I can't take those fucking glasses.
The blue light glasses?
I can't. I've done you look like the emoji that's like...
I'll take it. You know, I've been staring at screens all day. My eyes are burning, all right?
Yeah.
There's always rumors that they're out to be bought.
Yeah.
And Microsoft is just one of those companies that are buying companies with a ton of money.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, Atlus is Sega.
Yeah.
Like, those are all big RPG games.
And again, I thought Atlus was owned by Microsoft years ago.
But this is possibly one of those steps where it's one of the first steps of Microsoft acquiring Sega.
Acquiring is an easy word.
But that's kind of where it's coming down to, right?
you're working for us now, pal.
But it's also... A couple months ago, Sega did like a financial report.
Yeah.
And they talked about creating this thing. They call it a super game. They have this desire to create the super game.
The super game.
It's a game that's an ongoing game that just never ends. And is just, so it was just a nice way to say a live service game.
So a game. So pretty much any game that Nintendo is making right now, we're just forever DLC.
Or like an online game, like I would have thought their Phantasy Star was their
yeah.
their super game, because that's an online multiplayer
yeah.
that just never ends. No, isn't it just
pretty much
like a Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah, pretty much, dude. 14 has done nothing but keep going.
That's
Moonwalker is coming out, or already came out, and
Sega has a boner to make their own. Like, that's what they want.
Yeah,
like there's no way they're making a Sonic super game. They haven't even made a Sonic okay game in a while.
Dude, do you know if they made a Sonic Forever game, how all the furries that are fans of Sonic and even the hardcore crazy Sonic fans yeah. would like, they would keep that shit going forever. That game would be the super
Sonic
game.
Sonic Adventure 2 is still going because of the furries. Like, yeah. And then me, because I want the Chao Garden. Just give me the Chao Garden. I don't give a fuck about the rest of the game.
You and the fucking Chows.
The partnership deals with Sega communicating with Microsoft using its cloud-based Microsoft Azure service to assist with the development of the company's future titles. According to Windows Central, Sega has been a tremendous partner to Microsoft. According to the company's vice president, it's looking forward to creating unique gaming experiences using Microsoft cloud technologies alongside its new partner. Again, this is such like a weird, like, hey, we're working together announcement, to where it's like, what does this even mean? Like, you're saying all this bullshit stuff, like just raising each other's hands.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is definitely a thinly veiled week. They've got Microsoft on their arm with a gun right behind their back. Like, I'm sorry, Sega. Like, you know, they're gonna be like, "Hey, we're working together, but really, you work for me now." You know,
like, it's one of those weird things where it's like, is this just supposed to comfort investors? I don't get what the point of this announcement was. If it came coupled with maybe a game title tied to it, or a little bit more of maybe an idea of a game.
I feel like Sega was like, hey, Microsoft, can we borrow some money?
Do we want cloud-based video games?
What?
Cloud-based video games? Like, you don't download it, it just plays in the cloud, you're streaming it?
Yeah. I mean,
dude, I'm not a fan.
Dude, at this point, Microsoft, like, with the way Facebook's going, we're going to have games just come right into your head.
Oh, the metaverse?
The metaverse, baby!
I don't want the metaverse to ever die.
If you die in the metaverse, you die for real.
My little brother sent me a photo. He apparently bought an Oculus Quest or whatever.
Oh, really?
It's just like, why? I haven't seen you touch a controller in like 7 years.
He still plays games?
That's what I'm saying. All right.
Oh, no. It's not for games. We know what it's for.
Yeah, it's porn. Netflix's Devil May Cry animated series season one scripts are done. This is by David Walensky on GameSpot.com. Producer Adi Shankar from Castlevania and Dread has revealed in a new interview that season one scripts for the upcoming Devil May Cry, the animated series for Netflix, are now done, and there's already a plan in place for many multi-season story arcs. Speaking with IGN Japan, Shankar said the scripts are rad and that he could not be more excited.
They're right, rad.
Calm down, old man. He is, I've seen him in another interview, and he was like, I don't tell people what I do for a living. When people ask me what I do for a living, I tell them I make dope shit. And it's like, all right, that was the uncoolest way to say anything.
All right, Walmart Matthew McConaughey. Like,
so I make dope shit.
All right, all right, all right.
Nah, he's like what's his ethnicity? So he's not a white guy, like, at all.
You bringing race into it?
Well, you said he's Matthew McConaughey, and he's definitely not Matthew McConaughey. Indian American film producer. I wanted to say that because he's on like the top 20, like,
yeah,
American Indian American influencers, or not creators or some shit.
Yeah.
He was on like GQ's list. I was doing a little bit of research on what he's done.
Yeah,
to see, like, so he's the producer of Castlevania, which big hit on Netflix. Yeah. He's also got these shows in the works for Netflix that are based on video games: Assassin's Creed.
Okay, hopefully better than the movie.
Hyperlight Drifter.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like another indie game that was Legend of Zelda like in the 2D version, but like quicker action based. And then PUBG.
PUBG the show?
Yes. Or I believe it's a movie.
PUBG the movie?
Yes. Again, you could make it work if you do some type of Free Guy-esque movie.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, you know, the
Free Guy was basically a PUBG movie.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, if you do something where, like, it's like the Dragon Quest movie, you know, where, like,
I forgot about that.
You know what I mean? Like, do something like that.
At the very end, it kind of pulls you out and you realize you're in a video game
still. Like, that would be all right for PUBG, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I'm excited for this, because the only other Devil May Cry thing that, like, they had an OVA anime series.
And I liked that.
I know, and like, it was good.
Yeah.
And, like, and the animation was good, and it was dark, and it was edgy, and all that shit.
Yeah.
So, taking Devil May Cry's an infinite amount of lore and like just cool characters and shit with Castlevania style writing,
Again, he's not the writer, he's the producer.
Yeah, but he's going to produce the same guys who gave him the same good stuff, so...
I get nervous with that. So there's a little... let me keep going, because there's a couple things that get me a little, like, worried.
Don't do it.
The entire team at Capcom, both from the management side and creative side, have been so incredibly supportive and gracious, said Shankar, who also added that collaborating with the video game giant has been a dream. The scripts were written in collaboration with Alex Larsen, from Yasuka Embodied.
Yasuke
Embodied. Do you know what Bodied is?
No.
That's the YouTube movie about the white boy who did battle freestyle battle rap. And I think it was also produced by Eminem. So it was like Adi Shankar.
So we know it's fantastic.
It is actually a really good film. He also, when I was doing the research, made that list because he was the producer on the film called Gray.
I don't know.
With Liam Neeson. He's on a plane. It crashes. There's very few survivors. They're in like Antarctica.
Yep.
And there's wolves coming after them.
Oh, okay.
And
oh my God. I haven't thought about that movie in forever.
Yes. And so that's what he also worked on as well. He's got like a...
Yeah.
He's
notable, a notable repertoire.
And he started actually as, I guess, a YouTuber who made high-end YouTube short films.
Yep.
He called it the bootleg verse. Yep. And they're all based on existing entities. Like, one of them is Power Rangers.
Oh, really?
If the Power Rangers failed.
Yep.
So, like, the world is dark. It's all mature, too.
Yeah.
And it's called, like, Power/Rangers. Some of them you watch, you're like, this is a cooler idea than the actual thing that you made.
Yeah.
The scripts were written in collaboration with Alex Larsen from what did you call it?
Yasuke.
Yasuke Embodied. And Shankar further specified that season one will span 8 episodes, but will not conclude with Dante walking off into the sunset. Instead, the season will kick off arcs that will play out over an unspecified number of seasons. Shankar also confirmed that popular characters from the video game, including Lady and Virgil, will appear in season one.
Oh shit, Yasuke, that's a weird sign.
That's not a good sign.
Do you remember Yasuke?
No.
That was the Netflix the black anime, like the black samurai anime, like with like the mechanized robots in it.
No.
You don't remember that at all? Yeah, you do.
No, I don't remember that at
all. Yes, you do. You and Dylan watched it right from the get-go.
Yes.
And we're like...
You sure it was me?
Yes. This one.
All right, so I never watched it, but I know what you're talking... Isn't that Keith... LaKeith or something like that is the main character?
Yeah. This was the character. Like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did not watch that.
The writing falls off... Like it's one of it's almost like Cannon Busters.
Oh, Cannon Busters! Where fell like off so fast?
Where like the idea first episode is cool and everything meshes perfectly, and then you're like, why are the robots here? Why is magic here?
Yeah.
Why is all this stuff together now?
This is my problem with Adi Shankar.
Yeah.
He is such a what's a cool thing we can throw in here?
Yeah.
And it's totally...
Does it stick? No. Gonna
but
keep
it
in.
Cool. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. That's why I'm saying it's a cooler idea than the actual end product you get sometimes.
Why did you have to worry me like this?
But so Shankar also confirmed that we're getting those characters. He also joked and confirmed that Chris Pratt will not be voicing any of the characters.
There's the joke.
Garfield.
That's the other thing you started. Yes. What the fuck?
He's also claiming that Castlevania and Devil May Cry will be set in the same universe.
Really? Why?
Exactly.
Well, they're demons. I get it, but why?
But one's Capcom, one's Konami.
Yep.
There's no way Capcom and Konami agreed to that.
Yeah.
Where I promise you he said that in the moment because it was cool.
He's going to retract it not too far.
I don't think
future.
He'll ever retract it because he... If you remember...
If he gets threatened to get sued, he's going to retract it.
But if you don't ever really mention it in the shows... Right.
Yeah.
It's not something because
remember too. There he could have it written vaguely.
Yeah,
In the upcoming Castlevania show that's gonna happen, like the newest version
in Castlevania. Remember the Infinite Corridor.
Yeah, I know exactly. So
that is gotta be how they're because they're not even set in the same time periods.
No.
So I and there's no way.
And you gotta think too, like
Dante's not gonna meet a Belmont.
No, there's no. Well, at least not a Belmont that we want. But like, well, no, because like, think about it. And even in the original Castlevania like run of lore, yeah. I think, I think the like the latest era they get to is like the 1800s.
That's what it, exactly.
And it's not even a Belmont anymore. Yeah. The Belmonts are long gone. It's like the Morrises.
It's just like he's one of those people again that strikes me as someone who just says something in the moment that sounds cool.
Yeah.
And then someone else has to kind of figure out how to make that work. Because he said it, you know, and he's the one who runs the show.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of watch his interviews and go,
motherfucker. His creative team right behind him was like, this fucking guy, just keep he's promising the unpromisable.
Yes, that's exactly what it rubs me as. And it's a little, because again, Castlevania, as great as that series, and it's an incredible series on Netflix. The first season, remember, it's only 4 episodes.
Yeah.
And like, then that went through like development hell.
And then the rest of them are 6, 6, and like 7. Like it's...
And it's,
but I will say the last season was fantastic.
I think the entire
season no, was but like yeah. But I know, but like you can definitely tell like their heart and soul went into that last season. You know what I mean?
It's kind of crazy though, because you can also absolutely tell where all of the budget went.
So yeah,
every season,
just in the fight scenes, dude. Animation for killing things in that show is like it makes killing things an art form. I just can't even like the whole last fight.
Yeah.
Of season 4. In fucking insane.
I don't think I finished season 4. I got to go finish that.
You need to finish season 4. The last fight is one of the craziest things.
The fight at season 2, the end of season 2's fight was insane.
Oh my god, the flame whip thing? Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, season 3 was nuts.
Yeah.
With like what's his face? Isaac going crazy.
Adi Shankar is like just picking game series to make for Netflix. He needs to make a Hades series.
Dude, that would be dope.
If he made a Hades series in the Castlevania art style.
Oh my god.
It's itself. A win. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Dude, there's so many good. As long as they're willing to take risks, we're like some shows, like some video games like The Witcher can be done now. With where we're at now with effects can be done in real life. Then there's some.
You finally watch it, you piece of shit.
Can't wait for season 2.
It's incredible, is it not?
It's so goddamn good, it hurts. And it hurts. And then there are some that I think belong better in animated. Like Castlevania in real... Castlevania wouldn't work, I don't think, as well if it was live action.
I don't know. Because I could picture it being Game of Thrones-esque.
But like...
And Castlevania... Or sorry, The Witcher-esque.
So like, yes. But like, think about how many like creatures that Geralt fights at once. 1, 2,
so
max.
That's what you'd have to do, though. You'd have to scale it down to be your...
But
the Belmont is fighting this Dracula or this...
Yeah, no, and like...
This werewolf.
And, like, him fighting Dracula would be fine, and him fighting Alucard would be fine, but in the moments in between where they're fighting demons every 30 seconds, that part wouldn't work.
Well, you would have to write it to be a little bit more grounded, more realistic. It's going to show him tracking the werewolf. It would be very much...
Yeah.
You'd just be getting The Witcher, and at this point, they have The Witcher.
Yeah.
So you don't need to make the same show twice.
But at least then he's a human being, so at least, you know, the threat's a little more real. Yes. Geralt can't die. I don't care what anyone says. He's not going to die.
All right. Last news story of the week. Square Enix says Marvel's Avengers was disappointing. This is by Anthony James DeVitas on GameRant.com. During Square Enix's 2021 annual report, President Yosuke Matsuda stated that publisher was unhappy with how Marvel's Avengers turned out and that it was not as successful as the company would have liked, which is the craziest thing. Because I don't think you even need to make a good Marvel's Avengers game. Avengers is just so big that the name itself should have sold it. Which means your negative press was so more negative than the actual name Avengers itself.
How do you do that? And especially where...
Square Enix never does you wrong, right? That's what you said?
They would never do that. They would never do that to us.
Technically, it's Crystal Dynamics that made it.
Yeah, see? It's not all Square's fault.
Publisher, Square Enix.
Publisher.
But yeah. Many inside and outside the industry have expressed frustration that Marvel's Avengers was not a good fit for the game as a service approach. However, Masuda declined to use those words, instead saying Square Enix needs to select game designs that mesh with the unique attributes and tastes of our studio's development teams. Seemingly, Square Enix and Masuda are suggesting here that Crystal Dynamics, not the type of service, was the wrong fit for the Avengers characters. So it's kind of wild to just throw a developer under the bus, like publicly. It's the only reason I included the story is the fact, like me and Dill, we shit on this game every week.
Yeah.
Every week we shit on this game. Because it should have been, like, this is like Cyberpunk 2077. With all the money they put into marketing.
Right.
And it didn't do that well. I mean, it still sold a shit ton that game. This one, you get like, you look online, it's like 33 active players, and it's like, how the fuck is a Marvel's Avengers?
And again, it's Marvel's Avengers. We're still riding the high that Endgame left us, and yet
the Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the Nintendo Switch, I think, is a way better game than this.
Yes.
I think the problem is the fact that they made it live. They should have never made it a live service game. They should have focused on the story, the characters.
Yeah. What do we really need other than a cool story with superheroes? What else do we really need?
Well, they shoehorn in this live service game that no one plays as a live service.
Yeah.
You know, once everyone beat the story, they hop the fuck out because that other shit was just not fun. It's like, oh, I'm going to run the gauntlet again?
Yeah. No, of course not.
And then people do hop back in for the additional story content. Like, War of Wakanda came out. People loved that.
Yeah.
People like the actual story of
the
game.
No, yeah.
Why didn't they just focus on those things?
Because that's not where the money is for some reason.
100%. You're 100% right. And that's kind of like the scary thing where it's like, hey, this failed, but we'll try again. You know, like,
yeah. We'll get them next time.
Right. Like, they didn't step back and think, you know, we don't need to do a live service. They're like, we just got to figure out how to do it correctly.
If we tweak it and tweak it, oh, that one didn't work. We'll tweak it again. But like,
and Spider-Man comes out November 30th, right?
Yep.
But it's a PS4 and PS5 exclusive character, which is, again, another weird move for a game that you already are having trouble getting people to play. So instead of opening it to everyone,
yep,
you've just like segregated it to this corner of a corner of people who still aren't playing.
Dude, the fact that they're making some games PS5 exclusives only right now, to me, is nuts.
Well, it depends, right? Like, if it's a Sony-made game,
yeah,
I get it, because right now you're trying to convince someone to buy a PS5 over an Xbox.
But like,
Series X.
But like, you're screwing your own people who can't afford PS5 or can't find them still out of like from PS4s. Like, you know, they're already trying to edge their way out of like the PS4's life cycle. Yeah. It's like, don't cut it yourself. Let it fade out on its own.
Well, it's tough, right? Because isn't Ratchet and Clank, it's not going to be able to run on a PS4?
I don't think so. No.
So it's. And again, you got to give someone a reason to upgrade still,
yeah,
even though you can't find one.
But I'm saying, don't force them into it. You know what I mean?
I honestly think, regardless of which company you are,
yeah,
Nintendo included,
yeah,
you should make it a console exclusive, but also put it on the PC.
Yeah.
Because so many PC gamers aren't going to buy a console anyways.
No.
So put it on the thing that they will buy it on,
yeah,
to boost your sale numbers for you.
Yeah.
I think that's like the smartest thing, because like, I never want to buy a PC to play games.
Plus, but by the time we have money to buy something that's nice and relevant, the parts are just going to get outdated. We're already falling behind.
It's well, because that's the thing that scares me about a PC.
They're the master race, like, baby.
I just turn on my Xbox and it works, right?
It's all I get. I'm happy when the system turns on.
Every time I talk to your brother, he's like, "Well, I was gonna play, but then I had to download all these shaders and then these updates, and then by the time
like,
I was
done,
I had like 20 minutes." And it's like, "What are you even saying?" Because I just turned on my game and it works.
And you know, and he's like, "I only have an hour to play my game anyway." So it's like, "Okay, you wasted 30 minutes of it just loading the fucking like the preload."
Yeah,
you're not even loading the game. Yeah. You're just loading the thing to be able to play the game.
And he bought that PC like 2 years ago for like $900.
Yeah.
And he's already talking to me about looking at a new PC. And it's like, you have to buy like a new thing every like 2 years? Like,
they're the master race, baby.
That's not a life I want to live, dude. That's not a life I want to live.
Don't talk about the master race like that, all right? They're better than us. We know it.
One of the things people bring up when they bring up Marvel's Avengers.
Yep.
Is No Man's Sky, and how No Man's Sky has turned it around, and this could be like the next.
But like,
I
how long?
Too late gone.
But how long did it take them to do that?
No Man's Sky, it took them years.
Yeah, years. Yes. And they promised us all that, and from the get go.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They were like, "This is gonna be the forever game."
Yeah, this is.
This was the super game.
Yeah. Well, my biggest problem now is because No Man's Sky did that. Every time a game flops,
dude, it's
say,
like
no
it's
man,
like
Sky
saying,
"Did it, so we can do it."
Dude, it's like it's the story of Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team, and someone's like, "I got cut. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna be the next Michael Jordan." No, you're not.
Now every game that gets delayed, right?
Yeah.
Every single time a game gets delayed, you hear, "Oh, they're trying to avoid the Cyberpunk 2077 fiasco." Motherfucker, yeah, but they're also just trying to delay their game because it's not gonna work regardless. Like,
because it's not ready.
They don't really care so much about how Cyberpunk did. They're not that afraid of it.
See, and again, too, I feel like this is my problem. This is my problem with customer pressure.
Yeah.
This is my problem with having us having access to just yell at people whenever we want. And
well, don't take it away from me because I still want to yell at people.
No, fuck that. No, we should not have as much creative control as we do as customers.
I'm still gonna tweet at Dylan Sprouse tonight and let him know like the new episode.
No. Tweet at him all the time. Okay. He's your best friend. You gotta stay in contact. No, that I get. I'm saying I hate the fact that we can actually pressure people into releasing shit early and then have the balls to be mad about it.
To be fair. It worked out for Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
No, but we saved that movie. That's different. Yeah. We saved that movie. That's different. I'm just like, imagine me. Imagine everyone at Square Enix being like, where the fuck is Final Fantasy 16 right now? They'd be like, do you want it? We'll give it to you right now. You won't be happy with it. And then we get it. We're like, I can't believe they have the balls to release this. What kind of tactics are they planning? That's what they do now. That's what everyone does now.
Yeah. No, it is.
Could you imagine if Twitter didn't exist? And like, Masahiro Sakurai didn't get bullied every 30 seconds?
Oh, so he just did a column, too, where he talked about, hey, like, now that Smash development is over, I can finally talk about the games I've been playing because now people aren't going to use it as a hypothesis of who the next character.
Yeah.
He was even talking about how he was playing Death Stranding. And people are like, oh my god, is
Norman Reedus is going to be in Smash?
Like, absolutely not. Like, it was just the game that I was enjoying. Like,
besides, too, half the time he plays a game, then he's like, I'm going to make a new game in that series. And that's all people want. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people want Pikmin 4?
I don't. I think more Dude, people complain about the thing that actually care.
Apparently Pikmin has such a strong fandom that I was never aware of.
I have Pikmin 3. I still haven't started it. Is that what we start instead of Skyrim?
I never played Pikmin at all, so I would love to get into the Pikmin. I want to be part of the Pikmin fandom.
There's a mobile game that just came out.
Apparently, we don't talk about that game. Yeah. From what I hear from the fandom, we don't talk about that game.
All right, that does it for this week's episode of the After Hour Nerd Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at @HN_gags.
And at @HNPodcastTA.
I can't believe you left that Twitter. It's such a long Twitter name. Even I had to drop it.
Yeah, I feel it. Well, I'm pretty sure I had it longer before, but
mine was at @HNPodcastGags, which, like,
is a mouthful.
Yeah. You're gagging on a mouthful there.